we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what you hear somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anybody try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, then you can just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. When we are standing on the word of God, we are standing on God's shoulders because God now is on our side. And when you're standing on the word of God, you're standing on the solid rock. You're standing on a rock that shall never fall. Good morning to you out there in radio land. We're so thankful to Almighty God that you have allowed us to come into your home, into your car, into your place of business, your workplace, by way of radio. And this is indeed the Situation Room. I have with me in the Situation Room to help me deal with some of these situations, my lovely wife, my companion, Marion Wilbur. Say good morning, love, to those wonderful folks out there in radio land.
Good morning.
Glad to have you this morning.
It's good to be here as always.
All right. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. It's nothing like having my own wife right next to me, helping me answer some of these questions in the Situation Room. All right. Today is Friday. What we're going to do today?
Well, we have a topic that we're going to look at.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about something else. Today ain't Friday. Today is the first of the week. Amen. Yes. And so
today, which is on Monday, we're looking at an article out of the Charisma News. It is dated June 19, 2014, and it is entitled, Can We Pray the Polygamy Away?
Can we pray? Can we pray the polygamy away? Mm-hmm. Can we pray it away?
It's a very interesting article.
All right. And what are they talking about in the article?
Well, they're talking about a saying that's going around in the gay community, which I did not know this. But the saying is, you can't pray the gay away.
You can't? Oh, they got a little jingle, huh?
Uh-huh.
That's a little jingle, you can't pray the gay away.
But we know that that is not true, because prayer changes things.
Yes, prayer can change things. But so that's kind of a radical. That's a radical statement. You can't pray us away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't pray the gay away.
Yeah, and it went on. It's talking about how the media is pushing for gays on the national television shows.
Is that right?
It is, yeah. This is called the new wave of immorality.
The new wave of immorality.
Mm-hmm.
Polygamy.
And So it's on.
Something that was in existence over 150 years ago.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, because, you know, they outlawed that in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now they're bringing it back.
They're bringing it back. On several major network stations, such as Showtime, in their fall lineup, they have an original series called Polygamy, Married, and Dating. And this is showing two polygamous families that's living in Southern California. And it shows, it sort of put a twist on reality TV, because we know reality TV is very big now.
Yeah.
Also, there's another TV show called Sisters Wives. And they, you know, are airing polygamy. And this is where a man is happily married to three women. So he has three wives.
He got him three wives, yeah. And they putting that on television.
That's on TV. No shame. Very proud to.
And Showtime is involved. Showtime got their own show.
Yeah, Showtime.
So Showtime and now Sister's Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's kind of centered around these three wives then, huh? Since they call it Sister's Wives.
Yeah, and his three wives. But not only Showtime, but NBC.
Mainline television.
You know, they rolled out
one of the top three.
Uh-huh. Called True Believers. And that gives us a up close and a little more personal information about these polygamy families, and how that they are living with multiple partners, and how they're sacrificing the comfort of their home. And in this particular one, it has there's five adults, and then there's a 9-year-old child. And this 9-year-old girl, she believes that she has a normal family. This is normal.
She thinks that's normal. It's five adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's five adults, that lets you know right there that
the man has four wives.
Yeah, that's so it's a man with four wives.
And a child.
And a child. And the 9-year-old think that that's normal. She got, I guess what, she got four mamas?
Four mamas.
She got four mamas and one daddy. And she think that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this seems like we are going through the book of Judges. You know, the book of Judges, what was abnormal, they was looking at it as being normal. And that's kind of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
This 9-year-old, and I guess, you know, because that's what she's growing up with.
That's what she sees.
That's what she sees on a daily basis. So I guess any of us would think that that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Just like when children are living with homosexual parents.
Yeah, they thinking
two
that that's normal.
Two daddies or two moms, that's all they've seen. You know, that's their family. To them, that's normal.
Uh-huh. What else we got on that article?
It also it tells us that polygamy is illegal in 21 states.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's sort of difficult. It was telling about how.
So just 21 states is
21
illegal?
21 states.
So half the United States, polygamy is legal.
It's legal. It's probably not.
Because you got 50 states.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's interesting.
That's quite interesting.
And it went
so
on.
That's what, 29 states that's
mm-hmm. that is practicing or
that's it's legal.
Mm-hmm. NBC also went on and they are suggesting that 5% of the people in the United States are in a polygamous relationship.
So they're coming out the closet.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just the gays and the transgender coming out, but people that are in polygamy marriages.
Okay.
And it also in Atlanta, there's over 900
I wonder if they're talking about Atlanta, Georgia.
I wouldn't doubt it because that's a very liberal.
But the article says in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah.
900 is in a polygamy community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, so they're growing.
And then they have support groups. One is group is Open Love New York, and they have more than 1,000 members.
Open Love New York.
Uh-huh. And then they have a website, Live Science, you know, that is trying to debunk the myth about polygamy. So basically it's trying to tell you polygamy is okay.
Mm. And what else?
But not only that, it even gets worse. They have an app, a mobile application for your telephone, where they can advertise polygamy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
That's about it. So it's the it says the ABC has preached the gospel of polygamy in its attempt to pass gay marriage and to further destructions of God's plan for the family.
So ABC is pushing.
ABC.
So you got ABC, NBC, and so I'm pretty sure that CBS probably got something too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it's on regular television. I call, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC, I call that, you know, regular television.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on stuff like Showtime, so it's all out there. And so the media, you know, most of this would not get any airplay, any coverage, anything, if the media really wasn't behind a lot of...
Well, 'cause a lot of the people in the media are in those alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
You know, we got more and more coming out as being, you know, lesbians or homosexuals, so...
And so they're really working their agenda on it. That gay agenda that we talked about the other week, it looked like everybody is getting a page from the gay agenda's playbook.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this looked like, because the other week we had a trans gender report, and then this week we got this
polygamy
report. All right. All right. Well, let's see what the Word of God said, because they asked a question. They asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can we pray
polygamy away?
Well, let's see what the Word of God say about that. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, because I believe that can handle anything, mm-hmm. Sister Willie.
It says, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land.
Now, God said, if my people, so if the church community, if we would get together and do these four things that God is asking us to do, then we can get this polygamy. We can roll back this polygamy. We can roll back this transgender. We can roll back this gay lifestyle.
Yep.
The first thing it says right there, we must what?
Humble ourselves.
And, you know, whenever sin is prevalent, it's because the church is not humble.
Mm-hmm.
The church is living in a prideful way, in a arrogant way, a way as if we don't even need God.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of the church of Laodicea over in Revelation, Sister Wilbur. Revelation chapter 3. Start reading around verse 14.
Verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel to eat.
Is that chapter 3 or chapter 2? That's chapter 2.
Okay, I got the wrong
one. Yeah, chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse
14.
And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
God can't use us because we're not hot or cold. Because when you want some coffee, you don't want lukewarm coffee. You want hot coffee. You either want hot coffee or you want cold.
Ice coffee.
One of the two. You don't want lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And God said, I can't use you because you're not either hot or cold. I wish you were either hot or cold, I could use you. Mm-hmm. But God said, I can't use you. And read on. It's because we are arrogant.
Okay. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, even so that you may see. Those whom I love, I will reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent.
All right. Now, what was the church opinion of itself? They said that they was what? They was rich.
They were rich, and they had become wealthy, and they had no need of nothing.
Yeah. And then what was God's opinion of them?
And he said, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
God said, you ain't rich, but you poor.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you naked.
Mm-hmm.
God's opinion of them was totally different from their opinion. And that's the thing. We got a high opinion of ourselves mm-hmm. today in church.
We do.
And we think if we can get this football player at our church or this a movie star, rock star, we can get these celebrities to come to our church, rich and famous people to come to our church, then we got it made. But mm-hmm. God says, you ain't rich, you poor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked. And so we need to get with God to get the right opinion of ourselves, and then we would humble ourselves. If mm-hmm. if the church really saw itself as being needy, like God is showing that, because when you poor and you naked, that's needy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're blind, you need it. A blind person got to have somebody to lead them.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to humble ourselves. It all begins with the church. We can stop a lot of this destructive lifestyle, but the church, we're going to have to get right. Mm-hmm. We got to humble ourselves. And then the scripture says, God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. And so that's what we need to do. And then the second thing there, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it mm-hmm. says we humble ourselves. And then it says pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Wilbur, do you know the biggest problem that's in the church today?
Little prayer.
Yeah, little prayer. Little prayer. We used to have a piano player there at the church that before church would start, she would round up all the choir members and she would have prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But she would always tell them, little prayer.
Little power.
Little power.
Much prayer.
Much prayer.
Much power.
Much power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Little prayer.
Little power.
Little power.
Much
prayer.
Much power.
Much power.
And that's true.
Yeah. That's very true. And that's why we got such a weak church today. Is the number one problem with the church is prayerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest sin. That's the biggest sin in the church is prayerlessness. You know, I heard it said that I read this statistic somewhere that the average minister in the church pray less than 2 minutes a day. Now, if the average minister, the average pastor is praying less than 2 minutes a day, what about the regular church?
They're not praying at all.
They ain't hardly praying at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see why our world is in the condition that it's in. It's because of prayerlessness. See, revival begins with prayer. Every major revival in the Bible began with prayer. Every revival in our communities today begins with prayer. Mm-hmm. The great awakening, mm-hmm. It began with prayer. The great revivals back in the 1800s began with prayer. Mm-hmm. The great revival in the 1900s began with prayer. And the great revivals today, if we're going to have a revival today, it's going to have to begin with prayer. You know, when Billy Graham preached the last time at Texas Stadium, I had the privilege of going there. And the thing that impressed me, when I got in that stadium, I could just feel, I could sense
God's presence.
Yeah, God's presence. I said, now how can this be? This is a football stadium where they playing football at almost every Sunday. Mm-hmm. How can I feel such the presence of God? I hadn't felt the presence of God like that even in some churches, Sister Wilbur.
That's true.
But I come to find out that Billy Graham, when he gets ready to do a crusade at a particular vineyard, he send out a prayer team. Mm-hmm. And it's their job to pray over every seat in that stadium. Mm-hmm. And I could tell. And then right after he preached, and he preached just a simple message. Mm-hmm. Thousands of folks
came down.
And that's because of the power of prayer. So there's power of prayer. So can we pray polygamy away?
Yeah.
One of the things we can do, we can pray, and prayer will indeed change some things. But it's going to take prayer and some other things as well. But we're not going to leave prayer out of the equation. The other thing it said we need to do was what? So we humble ourselves, pray,
and seek my face. He said,
seek my face. And that's another problem. We seek God's hands too much.
Mm-hmm. What he can give us.
Yeah, we always asking God, bless me with this, 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 bless me with this. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But God wants to see our face.
Mm-hmm.
God, we need to seek God's face, not our hand. You know, Sister Wilbur, if you was entering into a relationship with somebody and they always just come up to you and say, give me this, give me this, give me this, can you let me have this, can you let me have this?
You won't be around long.
Yeah, you're going to get tired of that person.
Get rid of them.
But if that person just come and want to spend time with you, mm-hmm. and hang out with you, and have fellowship with you,
keep them around.
Yeah, you'll keep them around. And then when they do need something,
You don't mind giving
it to them. Why? Because they was with you when they didn't need nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they need something, you'll give it to them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what God says. God says, seek my face. In other words, God says, spend some time with me.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't need nothing. Spend some time with me in fellowship when you don't need nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you do need something, God says, I give it to you. So we need to seek God's face. That shows love. That shows affection rather than seeking his hand. You know, David prayed, hide not your face from me. David wanted to have fellowship with God. And then the last thing, Sister Wilbur,
turn from their wicked ways.
Turn from their wicked ways. That shows repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance. The church is in sin and we are dirty people. We need to repent. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to hear the church talk about sin, because the church is in sin. That's like a dirty shirt mm-hmm. is talking about somebody's dirty pants. Mm-hmm. Well, now, if your shirt is dirty, how can the shirt tell the pants that they need to be washed?
They can't, because you're both in the same boat.
Yeah, both of them is dirty. You know, and the reason that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't so much that it was a total gay city. God says, I can't find 10 righteous people. Mm-hmm. God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if he could have found 10 righteous people. And so we got to pray, but it's got to be righteous people praying. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are praying, but we got to be righteous. We got to repent of our sin. We got to turn from our wicked ways. You know, the Bible says flee immorality. A lot of gay folks say, how can they talk about us? They shacking up and immorality. You know, a lot of time we are even watching shows we shouldn't be watching on television. We getting ourselves dirty. We into pornography, watching worldly movies and going to worldly places. And so we got to get clean as a church. We got to get cleaned up. And then God will hear from us because we got clean hands now mm-hmm. and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. Prayer will work, but we got to be right with God. You know, like over in James chapter 5, Sister Wilbert, 16 through 18, and we'll close with that. James chapter 5, 16 through 18, because it talks about the prayers of the righteous.
Okay. James chapter 5, verse 16.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that ye may be healed.
Pray for one another.
The effective prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much.
It didn't say the effective prayers. It says the effective prayers of the righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. And then it shows a story about Elijah. Mm-hmm. How Elijah was just a common man, just like we was. But he prayed and he asked God, don't let it rain. And God didn't let it rain. And then he prayed again. After 3.5 years, he prayed again. God let it rain and God made it rain. Yes, and so prayer can make a difference.
It does.
Prayer can make a difference. All right, well, Sister Wilbur, look like our time has gotten away from us today, but this was a great story, report. Can we pray polygamy away if we are righteous people? Righteous people can make a difference. All right, well, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be just about all here today in the Situation Room. We do thank all of you for joining us today in the Situation Room. Let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour. We minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, we began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long because we are in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you now. You have a good day.